I'd like to share a scripture reading, if you would care to read along with me, found in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, I want to read beginning with verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Now listen to the 12th verse here. It says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." And that's where I will conclude my reading today, having read from Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12. And this is the thought that I want to set before you here today. I want to use this as a title: God and the Devil, who are you going to listen to? God and the Devil, who are you going to listen to? I want to go back, and I want to give a summary of the things that we find recorded in the first three chapters of the Bible. In Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, there's a lot of information in those three chapters of the Bible. And we find in the very beginning of the Scriptures, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, we find that it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And we read about within those first couple of chapters of Genesis, we read about how that God, after he created the world, how that he began to shape it and mold it into exactly what he wanted it to be, how that he detailed it and made it exactly the way that he wanted it. We read in those first couple of chapters of Genesis, we read about all of the different things that God created. We read about him creating the sun and the moon and the stars and creating aquatic life and plant life and fowls and animal life. And we also read about him on the sixth day creating human life. And everything that God did was good. Everything that he created was good. In fact, after his sixth day of creation, which was the day that he created man, God had, you know, each day as he created things, he would say that he looked at the things that he had made and behold, they were good. And then on that final day of creation, that sixth day of creation, on the day he created man, after that was finished, the Bible tells us that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, the Bible tells us how that within those chapters, how that God provided for his creation. And I believe there are things in there that certainly are conclusive to make us believe without doubt that he loved man more than anything that he had created. I believe one thing that proves that to us is that man was the only being that God made in his own image and after his own likeness. And so, you know, man did not evolve from a lower life form. God created man, an intelligent being, and created him in the image and after the likeness of God himself. Now we read about how that, as I said, how that God provided for man, how that he had given him everything. Eden was a virtual paradise, folks. God had provided for him everything that he needed. And he had taken Adam. The Bible tells us that he had placed him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And he had told him that he had access to it. Of all the trees, he was allowed to eat except for this one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God was doing everything for man. And then we read that the devil came along. And you know, sometimes I believe that we find ourselves surprised, perhaps, taken by surprise with things that are happening. When if we look at the scriptures, we see that this has been going on all throughout time. Listen, there has been a conflict. There has been war between God and the devil ever since the Garden of Eden. Ever since then, the devil has tried to tear down that which belongs to God. Now, I believe that there's something else that in this, that shows us just how much that God loved us, how much he loved man above everything else that he had made, because we find out that when the devil showed up, and this is the first time that we read about the devil, the one that I read about today in the 12th chapter of Revelation, if I'm right, you won't find him called by that name anywhere in the Old Testament scriptures. I don't believe, now I could be wrong, but I don't believe that there's any place in the Old Testament where he is called the devil. That we read about that term many times in the New Testament. Often we read about him in the Old Testament. We read about him being called Satan, which means adversary. The term devil means the accuser. And so we find that when we first read about the devil, there's a fact that's established there in the first few chapters of Genesis. And we find that, in fact, this is in the third chapter, I believe. But when the devil showed up there in Eden, he did not set out to disrupt the beautiful rivers that God had created. He didn't set out to mess up the aquatic life, the fish, or the fowls, or the plant life. You know, he didn't seem to be concerned with attacking anything that God had made except for man. All of his evil attention was focused on man, was focused on this being that God had created in his own image and that God had given his law to. And the first thing that we read about the devil is that he is approaching mankind. He came to Eve and he said that he asked her, "Did God tell you that you could not eat of the tree?" And I'm going to pause there for a moment before I get back to that. I want to go a little bit further and speak about some things that we are told about Satan or about the devil. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said this to a group of unbelieving Jews concerning the devil. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." Now listen. I want you to know here today here that if you're lost and separated from God, that you are in the clutches of the devil. Jesus told these people in their unbelief, "You're of your father, the devil." And this is what he said about him. He said that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, I want you to know today that whatever the devil is telling you, saint or sinner, whatever the devil is telling you, it's a lie. Jesus said there is no truth in him. He is not out to tell people the truth, because the truth is helpful. Jesus said the truth will set you free. The devil is out to deceive, and he's out to harm. And so whatever he tells you is going to be a lie. So Jesus said he's a liar and he's the father of it. Now, the Apostle Peter spoke about him as our adversary, as Satan, the adversary. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter said that we are to be sober and we are to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, the Apostle Peter, when he wrote this epistle, he certainly knew about animals other than lions. And I wonder if you've ever thought about that, about why did he use a lion to speak about the devil? Why did he say our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour? Well, you know, if you read about an actual lion. They are great hunters. And they actually are able to subdue and bring down other animals that are actually much quicker than they are. A lion can hunt in a way that they can subdue their prey that can actually easily outrun them. But they have a very cunning and crafty way of hunting. They will stalk their prey. They will hide themselves, and they will get down in the tall grass, and they will very patiently approach their prey. And then when they are close enough to attack, then they will hit them with the element of surprise, and before you know it, the antelope or whatever it is in the clutches of the lion. And so the Apostle Peter spoke about a lion. He compared the devil. He said he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, if we go back to what the third chapter of Genesis says about him, there he's spoken of as the serpent. He's spoken of as the serpent also, that old serpent in the 20th chapter of Revelation. But in the third chapter of Genesis, he's spoken of as the serpent, and the serpent says that, or the Bible says rather, that the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field which the Lord had made. And what that simply means is that the devil is more cunning, or he's more crafty than anyone else. And so we are dealing with someone because, trust me, we are dealing with the devil. We're dealing with the devil. And we're dealing with somebody that is very sly, that knows great trickery, and is very cunning, and that knows how to approach. He knows how to approach. And we must be aware of that, folks. We must not be ignorant of this. That's what the Apostle Paul said, and that's why he wrote to the church at Ephesus that they would put on the whole armor of God, that they might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if we go back to the third chapter of Genesis and we read about the way that the serpent approached Eve, he came to her, and he certainly did not deny that God had told her what he had, but he said, "Did God tell you this? Did he tell you that you were not to eat of this tree?" And she told him that God had said that essentially that there was one tree that they were not allowed to eat from, because if they did, they would die. And you know what? The devil told Eve, he said, "Well, you will not surely die." Think about what happened there. You will not surely die. You know what the serpent did? He told Eve, "God has lied to you. God has told you a lie. You're not going to die. But the reason that he told you that is because he knows that if you take of that fruit, that your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be as gods, to know good and evil. That's why he did not want you to eat of that, but you're not going to surely die." Now, isn't it sad when you think about it that God, how that God had created them and how that God had provided everything for them and given them this virtual paradise to live in, and had done everything that they needed, had given them everything that they needed, and the devil had done absolutely nothing for them. The devil had not shown to them one act of goodness or kindness. He had not shown them love in any way. And he approaches Eve and says, God has lied to you in what he told you. And she listened to the devil. You know what we're talking about here? About two people that at that time were living on the earth in a sinless condition. They were not even sinners yet. And she believed and listened to the devil and saw that the tree was pleasant to look at, and she took of the tree and ate and gave to her husband, and he did eat. And so God was disobeyed. The God that had done everything for them and only expected one thing of them, and yet they listened to the devil. You know, I believe today that in too many ways that God's people still listen to the devil. We still listen to the devil. We shouldn't. And I'm going to say this to anybody that's here today, whatever your spiritual condition is, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, I'm going to say this today, that if any and under all circumstances, whenever you listen to the devil and you do the things that he's telling you rather than the things that God is telling you, it's going to turn out bad for you every single time. It's never going to turn out good. We don't have one example in the scriptures of anybody that ever disobeyed God and minded the devil instead and benefited from that. It will turn out bad. It will be detrimental to you every time that it happens. I believe that God has children today that are chasing after the temporal things of the world rather than looking to the things of God because they have listened to the devil. I want to ask you something. If you don't think that we will still do this today, oh, we could look at Eve and we could look at Adam and we could say, well, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe that they did such a thing. Let me ask you this. Let me just ask you something very simple. Have you ever been in a worship service like what we are in today and the Holy Spirit of God begin to move upon your heart to stand up and to testify for Him, to praise Him, to speak to the congregation about the goodness of God, and yet the devil came along in the other ear and he said, you don't need to do that. It's going to take up time. It's getting late in the service or whatever the case may be. And he lied to you. How many times have you done that where you listened to what the devil said and did that rather than what God said? Now, you can't convince me that it doesn't happen because I've heard too many testimonies that it does. Too many times people say, oh, I was supposed to do that this morning. I was supposed to tell my experience, or I was supposed to say a word for the Lord, or I was supposed to thank Him today for something that He had done for me, but I didn't do it. And you know, sometimes I'm afraid that we speak of those things even casually. I was supposed to do that for the Lord today, but I just didn't do it. Let me tell you what, as a child of God, with everything that He has blessed us with, everything that He has done for us, every time we listen to the devil rather than listen to God, we ought to be ashamed of what we have done. There ought to be some remorse about it. There ought to be some repentance because we listen to the devil rather than God. I'm telling you this today, that He doesn't want us to prosper in the work of the Lord. Why did He approach man? Why didn't He approach the animals? Why didn't He approach the birds? Why didn't He approach, why didn't He try to tear up the beautiful vegetation in the garden? Why did He attack man? Because God loved man. And the devil is going to be after what God loves the most. He had given man His law. He had made man in His image. He'd made man to be an eternal creature. And that just enraged the devil. We read in the scriptures how that the... Let me give you an account that we have in the fifth chapter of Acts of somebody that just blatantly listened to the devil. In Acts chapter 5, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Isn't that awful? That someone allowed the devil to influence them enough that they lied to the Holy Spirit of God? "And to keep back part of the price of the land while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Did he come out the better for this? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Gave up the ghost. Why do we allow? Man, that's a big question. Why do we allow the devil to influence us the way that we do? Why do we allow him to even cause us at times, as he did with Eve, to even be guilty of looking at God and saying, "God lied to us"? Why in the world would we let the devil come along and things that we know are right and things that we know are wrong and things that we know are contained in the Word of God and things that we know that God's Word condemns, and allow the devil to convince us to follow him rather than God? Doesn't the Bible tell us that there should never be among us as God's people bitterness, strife, wrath, envyings? Doesn't the Bible teach us that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace? Why do we allow bitterness to be in our hearts? Why do we allow these things, these human emotions oftentimes that we have? We spoke in the Sunday school class this morning sometimes how the people are just angry with everybody and everything around them. I'll tell you what, folks, that's not the Christian way. That's not God's way. I think, Brother Buddy, the message that God gave him from the very onset of the meeting Friday night was right. We need to repent of some things. We need to get right with God, don't we? We've listened too much to the devil. Too many times in too many situations and too often have listened to the devil rather than listening to God. I want to tell you something today. If you're here and you're lost, God is going to say unto you, come to me. Come to me. I've made a way of salvation. I made a way through the sacrifice of my dear son. I sent him into this world and he died for your sins. And this is proclaimed to you today in the gospel that Jesus was crucified for us, that he bore our sins there up on the cross, and God with outstretched loving arms and through the work of his Holy Spirit sends out the invitation into your heart, come to me. Come to me, come and seek me and you can have eternal life. Come and seek me and you can be born again. Seek me and repent of your sins and trust in me and you can live forever. When this life is over, you can have a home in heaven. And the Bible tells us in Romans 2 and 4 that by the goodness of God that he leads us to repentance. And so the Holy Spirit of God draws us to come to him. And lost friend, listen, just as sure as he does, the devil's going to come along and he's going to try to convince you not to follow that. He's going to try to convince you and he's going to lie to you in many different ways. Many different ways. I remember, I've shared it with you before. I remember some of the lies that he spoke into my ear. You don't want to do that now. You're just a young person. You need to go out and you need to have a lot of fun before you get serious about this religion and all this stuff. He will tell you everything he can to keep you away from God. But you remember this, he's a liar. He's a liar. And I'll tell you what, many people in the world today refuse to believe it, but it's true, and their disbelief will never change it for the lost soul that will listen to the devil rather than God. There is nothing waiting for you but a literal, eternal place of burning damnation. That's it. That's all that's waiting for the lost soul that will listen to the devil. I'll tell you what, church, if you don't believe that the devil can tear a church completely down, you need to read some church history. If we listen to the devil rather than God, we're goners. Now, for those of us who have been saved, he's never going to get our soul. Why do you think that the devil was so interested in Job? I mean, there were other people living in that day. Why was he so interested in Job? Why was it that on the day that the sons of God, the angels, came to present themselves to the Lord, that Satan came with them to actually challenge God concerning his servant Job? Why was he so interested in him? Because he was a righteous man. Because he feared God and he shunned evil. And he loved the Lord. And Satan says, I got to get at him. I've got to get at him. I'll tell you what, a lot of people wouldn't like this statement, but I'll tell you a lot of times why the false churches in this world can grow in leaps and bounds in number. You know why? Devil's not worried about them. He's not fighting them. But I'll tell you what, he's fighting the true people of God tooth and nail. And if we don't remain aware of that, he doesn't want us to have revival. Do you really believe that the devil is not going to fight us? Do you believe that he's not going to try to disrupt us? Do you believe that he wants to just sit back and watch us worship the Lord and serve the Lord and try to convince people that they need to be saved? Of course not. He's going to try to tear that down with all of his evil might. I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful there in the third chapter of Genesis, when the devil had done his dirty work and they had listened to him, they had sinned and they had become separated from God, that God made it known that he had a plan of recovery. I'll put enmity. He told the devil, he said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. And it'll bruise your head and he'll bruise his heel. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But I'll tell you what, if we want to stand against the wiles of the devil, we better run to our Heavenly Father. We better draw nigh to God, because that's the only way we're going to resist the devil. That's what the Bible tells us. Draw nigh to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, I'm of the belief that if we could really see, if we were spiritual enough to see, I'm afraid that we would see ways that we are listening to Satan rather than God, that we may not even realize we're doing it. That's how cunning and how crafty that he can be. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And yet, people will know that and go right on being angry and refusing forgiveness. Just carry a grudge. The devil's at work, people. He's at work. I'm glad that we serve a God that has more power than him. And I'll tell you what, if you really want to live for the Lord, you can. If you want to be saved, you can, because God has the power to save. But if you're going to listen to the devil rather than God, you're going to suffer greatly because of it. Those who are lost will suffer, as I said, to the eternal detriment of their soul. Those of us who are saved, if we let the devil guide our lives, we won't be of any use to anybody. Just that plain and simple. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser. He's an adversary. He's our opponent. And we must wear the armor in order to stand against him. I'd like for us to have a song. And I want to say this today as we give the invitation. I want to invite anybody that needs to repent. If you're here today and you're lost, you have need of repenting of your sins and trusting in the Lord to be saved, I want to invite you to come. If you're here today and you're saved and you have a need to repent, then I want to ask you to come as well while we stand and
number 196. Number 196. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Number 194, number 194.